Welcome to the First Church Podcast, a weekly podcast of messages from the First Church of Christ in Altoona, Pennsylvania.
All right, good morning to you. Good to see you here today. Let me begin by just saying thank you. You know, as I look out and see pretty much a full house this morning, I know very early on when we started our project here, I remember saying to you, you know what, be here every week. And I want to thank you for keeping that promise. Because I know, you know, the parking lot is a little uncomfortable and things, and, you know, I recognize that. And so thank you. Thank you for keeping that promise. And let me just assure you that in the next couple of weeks, it's going to get a lot better outside. Really, a lot better. The parking lot and all that kind of, it's going to get a lot better. It's going to get a lot worse in here. It's going to get a lot better out there. So you're going to have a little easier time getting in the building, and then you're going to be wondering, is that going to fall on me? You know, kind of like today. But I promise you that we will make it safe. Have you ever been in a situation where you had a really bad day, maybe your worst day ever, and followed it up with the greatest day ever? You ever had that? 3 years ago, actually, it was in January of 2010. Arlene and I went on a vacation. And we were planning on going where it was going to be really, really warm, okay? Here's you some pictures of that day. We actually had planned, we were flying out of Dulles Airport in Washington, D.C. We were going down to San Juan, Puerto Rico, and going to spend a week down there in the 88 degrees and sunny. And about 4 days before that trip happened, they said that here in Pennsylvania that we were going to receive some significant snowfall. And our winters had been so mild, I wasn't sure exactly what that meant anymore. Well, they got it right this time. That was the year that we had that blizzard. Arlene and I actually went to the airport a day and a half early because it was going to start snowing that night. So we went down after work that day. It started snowing before we even got to D.C. And then by the next afternoon, it had snowed 54 inches of snow. So we were stuck. There's the middle picture. We were stuck in D.C. and all the flights and everything was canceled. But it's like, okay, that's okay. Our flight's tomorrow. They're going to push us all out of the way and it's all going to be good. Well, about 3 o'clock in the morning, I got up and our flight had been canceled. To make a long story short, they got us on this flight and they kept saying, no, I think this flight's going to go. And we went to Dulles Airport. There it was. Planes covered in snow, nothing was working, nobody was there, and we sat and waited on this plane that finally did come, and we got on it, and the pilot said this, true statement, he said, congratulations, you are on the only flight out of Dulles Airport today, period, the only one. Okay, we got down there, we literally barely made it, and all of a sudden, there's the next day, Arlene and I were on the beach, it was 88 and sunny, and Arlene said, I wonder how they're doing in Pennsylvania. And I said, where's Pennsylvania? I don't remember. I was there on the beach, and I'm thinking about all you guys here. I really was, seriously, I really was. It's like, I hope they're doing okay. I hope they've gotten rid of all the snow and all this. But it was amazing because one day, blizzard, 52 inches, cold and cold, nothing was moving. The next day, I'm on a beach, and it's 88, and it's sunny, and it was awesome. Whew, I'd like to do that again sometime. You know, now what does that have to do with the message today? Here's what it has to do with it. The first Easter Sunday, okay? The first Easter Sunday was so good because the day before had been so bad. Right? I mean, think about it. We remember back. We think about Easter. We think about Good Friday. We know what that was like. Jesus died. Sunday, Easter Sunday morning, Jesus is alive. But on Saturday, everything was wrong. Totally defeated. Jesus' body lay utterly dead in a rock tomb. The spear had pierced his side and his tongue had gone silent. And to Jesus and to his followers for sure, death was absolute. I mean, nobody was betting on the resurrection. Nobody was talking about Sunday. Everybody was in despair. And here's the point, folks. I want to teach you today how to get unstuck from Saturday and move into Sunday. Because I think a lot of people today, they're stuck in Saturday. They're stuck in that day of despair. They're stuck in that day when everything seems wrong. Nothing seems to be going right. They're stuck in that day when they just feel dead. They feel lifeless and there is no hope. But when we can get beyond Saturday and we can get into Sunday, an amazing thing can happen. Think about it, folks. In Matthew chapter 27 in verse 62 through 64, look at what it says. It says, the next day, the one after preparation day, the chief priest and the Pharisees went to Pilate. Sir, they said, we remember that while he was still alive, the deceiver said, after 3 days, I will rise again. So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people that he has been raised from the dead. This last deception will be worse than the first. Folks, just allow this to run through your mind, what Jesus' opponents were saying here. They're saying, we need to make sure, we better make sure that we guard this body so that they, his followers, don't steal his body and claim that he has risen from the dead. While Jesus' opponents celebrated his death, his disciples were hiding in fear. You see, they didn't have to worry about them coming and stealing Jesus' body because they were all in hiding. They were afraid that what had happened to Jesus was going to happen to him, to them. The disciples hid behind that door that is closed in fear. And you know what? Some of us, some of you here today, you're hiding behind that door of fear. I mean, your world is full of so much despair. You're stuck in Saturday. You're stuck on that day when you don't think that anything can ever be right. And Easter speaks to us on that particular day, at that particular time. I mean, the women, they didn't come to the tomb to celebrate Jesus' death. They came with all kinds of uncertainty, with all kinds of worries, with all kinds of fear. How are we going to roll the stone away? You know, what are we going to do when we get there? Matter of fact, the Bible is so full of examples of this kind of spirit among God's people. Let me show you 4 passages of Scripture here that's really interesting. They're all from the Gospel of Mark. In Mark chapter 8, in verse 21, look at what it says. It says, he said to them, do you still not understand? Jesus is talking to his disciples, and I think he could probably say the same thing to us today. After all these years, after all this time, after walking with you day in and day out, do you still not get it? I mean, do you still doubt my love? If you look at this particular context, you'll see that Jesus says, hey, you remember when I fed 5,000 people? How much leftovers were there? And they said, well, there's 12 baskets. He says, remember the time I fed 4,000 people? How many baskets of leftovers? There were 7 baskets of leftovers. And Jesus is like, you know, he's talking about the leaven, talking about the Pharisees and everything. And the disciples are just sitting there. They got this deer in the head-like look. They got this dumb-looking look on their face that they don't understand. They don't get it. And Jesus is like, you still don't understand? Look at Mark chapter 9, very next chapter, in verse number 31. Look at what it says. Verse 31 says, because he was teaching his disciples, he said to them, the Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men. They will kill him, and after 3 days he will rise. Look at verse 32. But they did not understand what he meant and were afraid to ask. I mean, think about it. How much plainer can you get? Jesus said there, look at what he says. He said to them, the Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men. They're going to kill him. And after 3 days, he will rise. And they said, we don't understand. And they were afraid to ask. I mean, why? Why all this confusion? Why all this fear? Jesus was so plain in what he was doing. Look at the next chapter, in chapter 10, in verse 24. It says, the disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus said again, children, how hard is it to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, who then can be saved? They just didn't get it. They just didn't understand. And then the greatest example in this whole issue here is from Mark chapter 16. And if you look over there, this is the story of the women coming to the tomb. And in verse 1, it says, when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, Salome brought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, look at this, who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb? The last thing that they were looking for was resurrection. Now here's the point, folks. It is so easy to get stuck on Saturday. It's so easy to get stuck into the negative, to get stuck into the fear, to get stuck into the worry. It's so easy to get bogged down when we have difficult times, when we have difficult days, that it's almost impossible for us to see the promise and the goodness of God. You know, Jesus' disciples were hungry. He fed them by the thousands miraculously. And they're just, what am I going to do for food? You know, they're so worried. Jesus says, I'm going to be arrested. I'm going to be tried. I'm going to be killed. And on the third day, I'm going to rise from the dead. And they're like, what? What are we going to do now that Jesus is over? Matter of fact, if you study the Gospels closely, when Jesus Christ was crucified and when he was buried, most all of them just disappeared. They were in the bog of the despair of Saturday. And you know what, folks? It is so easy for me and for you to get stuck in that place. I mean, think about it. What's the worst thing that can happen? Well, we could die, right? Or someone that we love could die. But isn't it true that everybody dies? I mean, isn't it true that the very thing that we try to avoid more than anything else is going to be the one thing that we will all encounter someday? Think about that. I mean, we brush our teeth, we eat our food, we eat good food, we pay our bills, we raise our kids, but yet Romeo and Juliet died, JFK died, Princess Diana died. Love gets buried in a tomb, poetry gets buried in a tomb. Is this all there is? And when it comes to Saturday, after Good Friday, before Easter Sunday morning, Saturday was a time of despair. You know, I remember some years ago, my brother, whom you've heard me talk of. My brother was 7 years older than me. Jeff was his name. I love Jeff. But we were so different in age when we were younger that we weren't very close. But after years and a lot of water under the bridge, we got very close. And when my brother died a few years ago, after a courageous battle with cancer in his mid-50s, he had spent a lot of his life trying to erase the demons of alcoholism and the abuse of alcohol. And it had caused him to lose almost everything that was important to him and everything that he loved. But praise God, my brother got to a point that he moved down south where my sister lived. My sister helped him get a good job there. He got an apartment. He got into AA, and he was sober for a number of years. And then he got sick. And I remember going to his home and visiting with him, and my sisters and I were there with him when he passed away. And I remember just how awful and how final and what a great defeat that felt in this room. This apartment was just full of despair, and we were just so, it was like, man, he deserved better than that. Have you been here? And I remember it was the longest drive ever back to Pennsylvania, all by myself. And every turn of the tire, it was like, you know, my brother deserved better than this. You know, and just the despair and the weight of all of that and the weight of calling his adult children and trying to love on them and encourage them. And it was just unbelievable. I remember going to his funeral, and I'm standing there at his funeral, and his ex-wife was there, who he loved every day of his life, and she had moved on, and he had too, of course, but she was there, and she said, John, I feel so bad about being here, and I just don't know what to do. And she was afraid to even go up and view my brother's body and all this kind of stuff. And I said, Carol, come on, I'll go with you. And I remember walking to the front with her, and she and I just standing there and just bawling and just shedding tears together. And you know, just the awfulness of everything that had happened to that point and what was weighting everybody down there then. It was just incredible. But you know what, folks? That's what Easter speaks to. I mean, Easter speaks to that kind of despair. We so easily get stuck in Saturday. But the beautiful thing is that Resurrection Day is a day of eternal love, life, and hope. Jesus Christ was alive on that first Easter Sunday to tell us that our worst day can be followed up by our best day. Mary Magdalene came to Jesus' tomb stuck in a Saturday kind of state of mind. Matter of fact, let me show it to you here. John chapter 20, verses 10 through 18, it says this. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. You ever been there? Sure you have. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head, the other one at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They've taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around. She saw Jesus standing there, but she did not recognize it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" Isn't that interesting? It's the very same thing that the angels ask. He asked, "Who is it that you're looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've put him and I'll get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news. And look at what she said. "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things. You see, folks, Mary came to the tomb stuck in a Saturday state of mind. And the interesting thing is that the empty tomb didn't take it away. I mean, think about that. She came expecting to anoint his dead body. She found the stone had been rolled away. She looked in and she saw that the tomb was empty, but nothing clicked in her mind as that to say that God was doing something miraculous here. That's us. We get stuck in that Saturday state of mind. The empty tomb didn't take it away. The angels didn't take it away. I mean, think about that. The angels said, "Hey, why are you crying? Who are you looking for?" I mean, you would have thought that maybe the empty tomb, the angelic voice is speaking to her, but even that didn't take her despair away. She just simply said, they've taken my Lord, and I don't know where they've taken him. And even to the point that Jesus comes up and she sees him, and right away she thinks that he's a gardener or someone else that's just there caretaking this particular place. Her despair wasn't taken away until Jesus said, notice this, the text, Jesus said, "Mary." Then it says that Mary turned to him and she exclaimed, and she called him teacher. Then she went back and she told the disciples that he was alive. And she said, "I have seen the Lord." Pretty amazing thing when you think about it, that Mary Magdalene, the one that Jesus befriended and delivered from demonic oppression, had the saddest of Saturdays covering her heart, but that sad Saturday was followed up by the most glorious day ever, because the empty tomb, even though it couldn't take away her despair and grief, the angels could not take away the despair and grief, when she heard Jesus Christ speak her name, instantly her grief and sadness were gone. Now here's the real point here, folks. Why did Jesus personally appear to Mary? I think the reason for that is the same reason that he wants to appear and speak to you and me today. It's because that's the kind of person he is. He's full of mercy. He's full of compassion. We are like they. We are experiencing dark days and dark times and despair and grief, and we're weighted down by so much. But he wants to give us a new day with a new perspective. You see, Mary had buried the only person who had ever helped her. Did you ever think about that? She'd been afflicted by seven demons. In the Bible, the number seven typically represents completeness. So apparently Mary was completely afflicted by paranoia, by depression, by who knows what else. We don't know everything, but she was emotionally disabled, and the people must have avoided her. The people must have walked away from her. The people must have neglected her, but not Jesus. Jesus befriended her. And folks, I'm here to tell you today that regardless of what you're going through, regardless of how dark your world is, regardless of how oppressed you feel by the demons around you, Jesus Christ can give you, as he gave to Mary, a beautiful resurrection Sunday after the most depressing and despair of Saturdays. Jesus befriended her. In him, Mary found a friend and a future. But now her friend and her future were buried, and her world was stuck on Saturday. She missed the miracle of the empty tomb. It did not lift her spirits. She missed the miracle of the angelic voices. They did not lift her spirits. She missed the presence of Jesus before her, thinking that he was a gardener, until he said, "Mary." Folks, when you hear Jesus speak your name and you realize who he is and what he has done for you, then your bad day can be followed up by the best day ever. The day before resurrection was a no-courage day. His friends and disciples were in hiding. The movement of Christ seemed totally defeated. Jesus' body was moldering in a grave. And the disciples hid in every corner in Jerusalem for fear that their cross was next. Saturday was a no-hope day. It could have been a day of hope, considering all the times Jesus promised big things and how they would happen on that third day. Saturday was a no plans day. They didn't plan on seeing the death defeated on Sunday morning. They didn't plan on any of that. They planned to embalm their loved one and friend. But you see, folks, that's not what God gave them on Easter Sunday. Why did Jesus appear to Mary personally? I think it's the same reason that he wants to appear to you and me today. This could be a good season for you. This could be a good day for you. You may feel like that you are under a blizzard today, but I can tell you that you can be on a beautiful beach tomorrow. Because that's what God wants to give to you. Folks, listen, during the times that you are stuck on Saturday, you ever notice that God never gets ticked off with us? He is not impatient with us. He is patient with us. And he just says to us as he holds our hand, as he speaks our name, shh, shh, be quiet and listen. Jesus is calling us by name. One man said it this way, the calendar in the break room of heaven is eternally stuck on Sunday. Right? Because that's what God wants to give to us. It's Sunday. Sundays are always good around here. It's Sunday. God is inviting you and me to move from a Saturday state of mind into Sunday, to move from a time of despair and grief to a time of hope and a time of joy. But this is true. Unless you find an answer for the death question, you'll be eternally stuck on Saturday. You know, I've heard it said many, many times in many, many different ways from believers for a lot of years. When they're standing at the tomb of or at the grave of a loved one, standing in line at a funeral home waiting to greet loved ones and friends as they come to say goodbye to a friend or loved one. I've heard a lot of people say in a lot of different ways, you know what, I don't know how people do this if they don't have the Lord. I've said that, and I'm sure that you have too. But you know what, folks? Until we allow Jesus to answer that death question for each of us, we're going to be stuck on that eternal sadness of Saturday. But when Jesus Christ came back to life, just as he said that he would, on that first Easter Sunday, wow, it said so much. But mostly what it said is that we do not have to be trapped by the despair of death. And you know what, folks? If you know that, then your darkest day, and everybody's darkest day, is the day that death knocks on their door. Even our darkest day can lead to the greatest day ever, the day after. And that's what Jesus wants to give to us. Let's pray. Father in heaven, God, I pray for all of us here in this place of worship today. God, help us to know that even though there are lots of times, Father, when the days are dark, that we can have the greatest day ever after the worst day ever because of the hope that we have in Jesus Christ and because of what his death, burial, and his resurrection teach all of us. So, Father, I know that I'm speaking to people in this room this morning that are stuck in Saturday. They're stuck, Lord, in the despairs of Saturday. Their life seems overwhelming. Their future seems bleak. Lord, maybe even answering questions of life or death. And I pray that every person in this room this morning would reach out, Lord, as Mary did. Her world wasn't changed by an empty tomb. It wasn't changed by the voice of the angels. It wasn't changed even by seeing Jesus.
Thanks for listening to the First Church Podcast. We hope you enjoyed the message for today. Be sure to check back next week or subscribe to the podcast by visiting our website at firstforchrist.com. That's first, the number four, christ.com.